This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Hey, today we're going to have an interesting one. We're going to have such an interesting conversation. And this is something that we're actually going to find out, how prevalent is it amongst Black South African consumers, female and male consumers, and also looking at the evolution of it, because clearly there's a growing demand for it. But do you know what is in it, and do you know what it means? What am I talking about? Well, I'll put you out of your misery and your curiosity. I'm talking about the rise in permanent makeup in South Africa. If, and you know what? I'm not even going to define it for you. We've got our experts, our dermatologist, Dr. Claudia Mulwabi, who's going to be joining us for this conversation. We've got PUM Gadi, who's a skin tag and derma planning specialist, who's in the studio with us, who's also gone through the journey of actually having permanent makeup, and the journey of even starting her own specialist sector as well. So we're going to learn a lot from each other when it comes to this one, right? PUM has a celebrity client base. And we're going to find out exactly what does that celebrity client base entail, and how prevalent is permanent makeup in the South African continent. Let me ask you, ladies especially, would you consider, and I'm saying it from the premise of, I've actually thought about it. I've had moments when I've actually thought about it. Yeah, Pua, you laugh, but I have. I've thought about it. Of actually getting certain aspects of your face permanent. Of getting certain permanent makeup. Would you do it? Men? How do you feel about waking up to a woman who's got a full, not even a full, but like a done up face in the morning? You know how about when onali that morning face? Hi man, motwa hao hana morning face. Motwa hao upright and sprightly. Onali di cheeks it's a blushang. Onali di lips it's a blushang. It's nice and plumpy in the morning. They've got the eyebrows already on fleek. And all you have to do, guys, is just turn around and open and say, good morning, baby. And there we have it. So you don't have to work hard for your woman to actually look good. She doesn't have to run to the bathroom every time and just to make sure that she looks good, so that by the time you open your eyes, you're not scared of what you see. She's just accepting it. Would you allow your partner, not even allow, because I think it's a woman's body, but would you support your partner? Would you support your partner in saying, if she said to you or he said to you, listen, I'm actually thinking about making certain aspects of my features permanent or makeup permanent? And ladies, would you actually, or have some of you actually gotten permanent makeup? I'm talking about the eyebrows. I don't know if you eyelashes, you can actually get them permanent, but we'll hear from our guests in a moment. Your cheeks blushing. There's lipstick. We're going to get into it in a short moment. But 0861-987-000. Guys, how would you feel about waking up to a face that does not need anything done? She's already done. As soon as you turn around, there she is, looking like Cinderella in all her glory. But let me welcome our guests this afternoon for this conversation. Dr. Claudia Mulwabi, no stranger to the Power Lounge family, who's also a dermatologist. Dr. Claudia, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lounge.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, Faith and everybody.
All right.
Thanks for inviting me all the time.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Listen, Dr. Clara, we've got so much to talk about today. PUM Gadi as well, who's joining us in the studio as well. PUA Skin Tag and Derma Planning Specialist. PUA, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch. No, you can speak louder, Sissy. Be free here. This is not one of those conversations where we get to be uptight. Don't worry. This is home, my darling.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a very homely conversation. If I had a wine, I would offer you a glass of wine just to ease you up a little bit. Don't worry. We're okay here. But Pua, let me start off with you, and I'll bring you into this conversation, Dr. Claudia, because Pua is going to also share on her journey. But Pua, let's talk a little bit about permanent makeup. I mean, you are a Black woman, and you come from Soweto. You've had a journey in permanent makeup, etc. But let's start off from the what part. When I'm talking about permanent makeup, what is it?
Okay, so permanent makeup is us inserting pigment into the first and second layer. It could be on the eyebrows. It could be on the skin, because we actually now can make your skin lighter by actually inserting pigment.
We can make the skin lighter by inserting pigment?
Yep.
Wow.
And
oh, okay.
There is lips, and there's also eyeliner. So there's just different methods of doing permanent makeup just understanding differently, whether it's the cartridges or blades, what pigments, what depths to use on certain areas of the face.
All right, so take us through your journey, because you've done permanent makeup. Before you take us through your journey, I'm going to get you into this one, Dr. Cloudy, as well, to help us from the defining perspective. What are we talking about here when we're speaking about permanent makeup?
Permanent makeup, especially by micropigmentation, it's like inserting the pigment onto the skin. There's different ways that is done by the beauty therapist. They have their own things, gadgets that they are using. And even tattooing is a makeup, because people want that makeup. They want to look okay in that. And that has become so popular in the, especially in the elderly women.
In the elderly women, really?
Yes. From 2014, it has become so popular worldwide. But this whole thing started back in 1986, when the one of the very renowned dermatologists, Prof. Klichman, published an article which says the psychology of appearance in the elderly women. Beautiful article to read. And then it went on and on. But currently, because people are now doing so much of permanent makeup, there's a little bit of paucity of literature in terms of the current one. We are not publishing enough, which I think I should. It should be one in my bucket list.
Yeah, listen, Dr. Claudia, I agree with you. Do you know what's so funny that you're actually saying that it's quite prevalent in the older woman? Because in my novice and presumptuous mind, I will admit it's quite presumptuous, I used to think it's something that young people do and not necessarily the older women that do it. So you're saying that it's quite prevalent among older women. Can you just take us through the psychology of it? Is it because my natural assumption is that women, you know, want to enhance their already existing features, and they feel like, you know, they want to look good when they wake up in the morning without having to work too hard for it?
Exactly. No one wants to look like shabby and whatnot when they wake up. You want to wake up, and then when you meet a guest that maybe arrived earlier than you thought, and you are coming back out from your bedroom, you look like you did something and you didn't do anything.
Sure. Okay.
So, a lot of people are doing it because it's just good to look nice. It's just good to look beautiful.
We've got so much to talk about. And if you've ever considered permanent makeup, or maybe you've got permanent makeup on, can we chat a little bit about your journey and your experience as well on 0861-987-000? And guys, would you encourage, support your partner to go and enhance certain features and go and get it permanently done as we're deliberating on this one with our guests? But Piwet, take us through your journey, because you also got permanent makeup done. Okay, so what did you do and how did it start off for you? What was the thinking behind it?
As in me doing it or?
Yeah, for you doing it.
Okay. It started with, obviously, I'm a nail tech years ago, and people come in, I wanna try this, do this. So obviously, I like how the doctor's saying it, that the demand grew. So as beauty therapists, we were then asked by our clients, do you do this? Because obviously social media is playing such a huge role. People are seeing people overseas doing it. And obviously here in South Africa now, the influence trickled. And yes, that's how I started getting into the permanent makeup industry. And it's been fun, and meeting all these different types of women with different experiences with skins, because permanent makeup is not just only just putting pigment to the skin. It's understanding a person's skin, what pigment to use, the depth, the aftercare, and also understanding a person's trauma, to say, and the healing process. Because people,
there's trauma to the healing process.
Well, people, they wake up, now the brows are gone. Like, what happened? I did my brows 2-3 days ago. It's disappeared. What happened?
Yeah.
And so it's so cool to see people go through all of that, and then it comes back, and explaining to different people how it's going to be, how it's going to last, why it's not going to last like this. It's so interesting to see us, especially as Black people, going through that era of taking care of ourselves. As she said, that it's older women, and it's amazing how many older women actually are.
Older Black women?
Yes.
Really?
60s. 50s, 60s walk in, and they want to look beautiful.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So what can you get done? Listen, for me, this you guys are opening up a whole new world for me. So what can you get done?
You can get your lips done. So with the lips, we don't just put red lips. We don't just give you red lips just because you want red lips. What we have to do is work on the melanin on your lips. So you find some people don't like that darkness on their lips. Others love it, which is cool. But others, they have patches or it looks like they smoke. And genetically, it's just genetic. They don't smoke. So we help them first break down the melanin to become lighter and then work through the color. In eyeliner, some people love liquid eyeliner every day and they want to wake up with it. The kind of look of a liquid eyeliner or pencil eyeliner look on their eyes. And that's what we do. And brows as well. There's different techniques. There's not only microblading. There's your sword ombre brows, your combination brows. There's different types of things you can also do on your brows.
Okay, so you've gone through the brows very quickly, but we'll talk a little bit about exactly what those brows entail. So what do you do? What do you do to the face? So let's start off with the lips. If somebody has to come to a client, comes to and says, I want to have my lips done. I want them to be, what am I wearing today? I'm wearing like a goldish brown. I want my lips to be a certain color. Are you able then to wake up with that color? So you depigmentize whatever it is that I need to, and then do you apply a color? So I'm permanently, let's say, gold, or I'm permanently red, or I'm permanently, you know, nude. What do you do?
I first have to really sit down with you and explain to you that it is not I'm going to put a color today and you're going to wake up with that color. So I have to first explain to you that's not once-off treatment. It can take up to 3 or 4 appointments to get the color we want. Unfortunately, we can't get a gold.
Darn it. But you can get like a red.
Unfortunately, the gold we can't, but we can try maybe like pinkish, reddish kind of shades. But it also takes a journey to get to that place because we're working with skin. Yeah. This is not lipstick. This is the skin with the melanin and sun exposure, your immune system, everything plays a role. It's not just like a lipstick that I walk into a retail store and put on my lips.
You know, Dr. Cloud, as I'm listening even to the process with our skin specialists, our specialists in the studio, it's not something that you can consider overnight. It's not one of those decisions that you can make abrupt and say, do you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking of getting permanent makeup. Really, what needs to be considered when one is going through this journey, Dr. Clara?
You know what? It's about the adverse effects. What can happen. And then you have to be informed. If those things happen, the side effects happen, where to go to. That is very, very important. Because just to add on what our therapist was talking about, it's not only the black women. It's very common because we see us, but this is common across the color barrier. I see different types, the demographics of the patients that I see. It's black, white, young, old. But what I'm saying is the older women, black and white, that are having permanent makeup.
Sure.
So it is very, very important that the community should be informed of the adverse effects, and if they happen, where can they go? Because it does not mean that they shouldn't be doing it, because even as dermatologists, we want to treat those adverse effects.
Yeah. And as I said, it's a very interesting one. And I want us to, as the conversation progresses, we're going to get into the side effects, the considerations, how it gets done. Does it hurt? You know, my biggest issue is pain. Does it hurt?
Pain.
Yeah, no, listen, Dr. Claudia, in my head, I've got 5 tattoos, but in my reality, I don't even have anything because I'm not the pain person. I avoid pain at all costs. So we'll talk a little bit about it. What does it mean and what does it do on your skin as well? But let me ask you, if you've ever considered getting permanent makeup, or if you have, can we share your journey with us? Can you just tell us what you've done permanently on yourself on 0861987000? Would you consider it? Is there something that you would consider? Let me go to Midrand immediately, actually. Hi, Vuyo.
Hi, Faith. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks to you. Go ahead.
I'm good, man. I've got permanent makeup.
Oh,
I've got brows. I had them done in 2018, and I think I've had a retouch twice. Mm. And I've got top and bottom liner.
You've got top and bottom liner?
Top and bottom liner. Very, very discreetly done in the top and the top liner. It's just done in the lash line.
Yeah.
And the bottom liner, it's just also not a thick comedic kind of look. It's very natural, and it works very much within the framework of whether I have makeup or not. And for me, the consideration was convenient. I travel a lot. I don't always have time to be cutting around 16,000 bags so that I could have, I woke up like this brows. And for me, I went with it so that I could have more time to do other things. And I'm a mom as well.
Your mom too?
I'm saying I'm a mom. So
oh, because I was about
to be fleeking my face.
I thought no, your mom did it. I was about to go. Oh, I need to call my mom after this show.
Girl, no.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
So for your consideration about pain, it really wasn't that bad because they numb you. It's done under really, really sanitized conditions. And not because I'm advocating that people should do it, but I'm just saying, if this is something that you would consider, I've had it done. I haven't had any side effects. And in addition to having the top liner, I also wear lash extensions. So I think I'm just a bit extra as well.
You're the girl after my own heart, don't you?
I'm the girl I think
you,
I am.
Yeah, listen, you are the girl that you think you are. You're the girl after. I'm wearing eyeliner, bottom and up, and I've got eyelashes on and blush and whatever. So you are the girl that I think you are. It's great. But
I like being that girl.
How was the recovery for you in doing it, Vuyo?
It was really very quick for both, actually. So you have to do, so you've got the initial appointment wherein you do the initial color itch, right? The pigment itch. And then you've got the touch up in case you're not happy with the shape or the color or whatever. And for me, because again, research is key. You need to find the right tech, someone who's qualified, someone who's accredited, someone who's got the right credentials and also works within a reputable space, because it's a very delicate, I don't have a tattoo anywhere else on my body. Ironically, I've got tattoos on my face, as it were, but it's a permanent thing. We call it semi-permanent, but it sits on your face for some time. So you need to be happy with what it's going to look like. And the procedure, you're numb while you're having it done. You've got some swelling. It looks strange for some days because it darkens and then it disappears and then it reappears. And then, you know, you kind of get used to the look. It's either it's too light at first, or you think this is just right, and then after a while you think, okay, that's faded, and then you get back and have it redone. Ultimately, it depends on the person. Fortunately, I've got great healing in my skin. Mm-hmm. I've never scarred. I don't bleed during the procedures, and it's just I've never had a reason to decide I'm not doing this again. If I had to decide to do it again, I'd do it again.
Wow. And how does it feel to wake up and you know the fact that your face is done in the morning?
It is great. And I mean, I think more than anything else, it's given me a reason to decide rather to work on the health of my skin. Because then after that, I went and saw a dermatologist so that I don't have to actually wear makeup. I've got the basic features of makeup on my face. The eyes are done. So I can just wear makeup, like wear lipstick and go rather.
Sure. Thank you so much for sharing, Vuyo. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And if you've also got a similar experience, if you've also tried permanent makeup or you are thinking about trying permanent makeup and you would like some expertise analysis from our guests there, please let's chat about it on 0861987000. But maybe let's start off with you, Dr. Clara. How permanent is permanent exactly? What are we talking here? Are we talking months, years?
You know, it's usually years. You know, I have a very close friend that has had this from about more than 15 years, but
15.
She didn't do it locally. But now she's just touching up. So it's really permanent. You can see that if it fades away, there's still some color that remains behind.
Sure.
So it's actually permanent.
So it's as in forever?
I feel that it will be forever. Because I haven't seen anybody that had it and now they don't have anything. Because most of my patients, especially my white patients, they've had it, especially the ones that stayed overseas, they've had it for many, many years. And it's still there. And I have a very close friend also, more than 20 years, actually, I forgot. but it was just one line. You remember when there was that one line of doing the eyebrows?
Yes.
So she had it done like that. It's just one line. She tried everything. It's just big.
It's still there, the one line.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah, it will draw the little pencil. Ew.
So she still has that. So I told her, you better just go and do a proper thing. Or we can rather take it out with a laser, because there is treatment out there to just take it out.
All right.
With a laser if you don't want it.
We're going to get deeper. Pew, I'm also going to give you an opportunity as well to add some insights on that. When we're talking permanent makeup, have you ever considered it? Have you done it? What have you done on yourself? Is it the lips? Is it the brows? What's permanent on you?
Call Faith on 0861-987-000.
We are having an interesting conversation this afternoon. If you've just joined us, we're talking about permanent makeup and the rise in permanent makeup in South Africa, as well as the effects thereof. We're learning so much from our dermatologist, Dr. Claudia Mulwabu, who's joining us, as well as our a dermaplaning specialist, Piwe Mgadi, who's joining us in the studio, who too went through the phase of going through of having permanent makeup, and she'll share some light into that one. But have you ever considered it, or have you done it? What have you made permanent in your face, and what would you like to do? We've got our guests here in studio joining us for this conversation as well. But Piwa, you wanted to add in, as our dermatologist Dr. Claudia was speaking about how permanent is permanent, and well, as well as maybe you can also touch on what happens when trends change. So the eyebrows are no longer pencil, you know, that one, now the eyebrows are on fleek. But I get you, like in about 2-3 years time, the eyebrows are going to be something completely different. And if your permanent makeup is permanent, you're going to be stuck with eye pencil eyebrows. So how do you navigate that?
Okay, so this is one of my favorite topics with I really share with my students in class, because I always tell them that the two questions people ask you when they come into your studio is, number one, is it sore? The second question is, how long is it going to last?
Mm.
And the truth is, semi-permanent makeup will not last forever. Semi-permanent makeup will not last forever. It has to wear off. So there's a difference. Tattoo ink has metal in it, and that's how permanent makeup started long time ago. So ink was used to actually do the brows, and that's why it was like a line, and that's why it turned green, because it's held by metal. And that's why even trying to get it off, laser would be the best, because as the doctor said, laser will actually kill the metal inside the ink, not actually kill the pigment itself. So but in semi-permanent makeup, we don't use ink
metal
or pigment that has metal.
Yeah.
It has to wear off, because, as you said, you don't want to be stuck with the same brows 5 years. So if you do proper permanent makeup,
mm-hmm,
it has to wear off. And that's why I love the lady who called in and said that she goes for a touch-up. It wears off. That's why you need the touch-up.
How long do you have it on for before it wears off?
And that's one question I say that something's wrong in the industry about that. If you do permanent makeup or you do permanent brows, it's going to last 3-5 years. That's not the truth. People are different. Number one, how is a person's skin? How is she taking care of her brows? Did she do the aftercare? What kind of pigments were used? So will she do a touch-up? Will she not do a touch-up? So I always tell people that permanent makeup will fade off. You can last a year, 2 years, depending on, will you go back and touch up? Mm. Does your skin, some people have such brilliant skin. I think your caller was one of them. She's like the ideal client. Her skin literally absorbs pigment well. That's our happy client. But you can get someone who can come in and pigment will not sit.
Is that because the skin is oily?
Not only because it's oily, some people's skin will reject pigment.
Oh.
Yes. So some people's skin will reject pigment. So, and that can be like 1 out of 20 people, but it does happen. So, and also, did you know you can walk in, you don't know you have low blood. I actually realize a lot of people don't know that they have low iron.
Mm.
And pigment doesn't sit. But when you do ask them to please take iron tablets for like 3 weeks before the appointment, when they come back, you'll find that their touch up looks so much better. Because why? The iron helped that pigment sit. So people are different. We have to be honest that we are different. We can't, two people can't heal the same, can't keep pigment in their skin the same for the same amount of years.
So what did you have done? I'm looking at your face and I love your face. It's bright and sprightly. It's a very beautiful face, by the way. You have to check out our face. But what have you had done?
I've done on myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've done it on yourself.
Yes, I did my own brows. And I still use a little bit of pencil to cover. Okay. And that's what I love about permanent makeup is that you have the option of it looking lighter and using pencil on top. And then days when you're like, I don't want to put pencil on today. But hey, I'm still good at gym. I'm still good when I wake up. Yeah.
So you've only had your brows done?
Yes, and I'm looking forward to my lips being done.
But your lips are pink right now, so you have not done
it. No, this is lipstick. No, not this pink.
It's about to go away.
Hey.
Be careful of the permanent there. Julian Centurion. Hi, Julia.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks, new mama. Go ahead.
Okay, I have microblading as well. I think that's the most popular one. I wish lashes were not falling off naturally, that we could have permanent ones, because really, women's eyes are the ones that, for me anyway, that I would want lashes. So I have microblading, done it twice. I've touched up the last time, and I didn't like the shape quite nicely, so I had to change the shape about a year ago. So I'm actually due for a touch-up in 3 months or so. We'll see. We'll see if it's still not as gorgeous as it looks.
How long does it take, though, Julia? Does it take, and how long did it last you for?
With me, it's different. So I'll say the first time, it was a bit problematic because I kept on having to go back. I don't know if it's the product or it was my face, like your guest was just saying. Sometimes it's in the product that we use. That affects, I think, and maybe general skin condition, I don't know. But the first time, it was a bit, I didn't like it because I had to go, I think I went 2 or 3 times back to her. And then when I wanted to change the shape, I just changed the person to the person that does my lashes. So she's quite good and very steady. And I liked her, the way she does the brows. And, you know, one wants to do the eyeliners and your lips, but I think the fear of the lips looking like your American stars and stuff, and the eyes are very sensitive as well. So we're not, I don't know, maybe it's because we don't see a lot of people doing them. But the reason why I did my eyebrows is because I'm not an architect, I'm not a drawing person at all. I didn't do it at school. I was failing dismally every morning to just do something with the eyebrow, with the pencil, you know. And I decided, no. That's it. I want to, you know, blame it on Beyonce. Wake up like this.
So it really is an I woke up like this moment for you.
Yes. You know, it when I even have the individual lashes, it's even better. That's what I'm saying. I wish we could do they were not falling off naturally, that we could just implant them, like the permanent ones. But unfortunately, we have to keep on going and sitting for 2 hours and do this thing. I'll one day get a tutorial and do this, the ones that you can do every day, on and off. I still don't have time for that. That's the other thing. I don't have time to be sitting in front of a mirror for makeup and eyebrows, so that's why I had to do this. I'm one of those get up and go person. So this has been the ultimate nicest experience ever. I wish I could do the lashes.
Oh, wow. Julia, thank you so much for sharing. And hey, if you also want to share, if you've thought about doing permanent makeup, or if you have done permanent makeup, what have you done so far? Dr. Claudia, let's talk a little bit, though, about the effects, the side effects of actually having this done, because by us using certain pigments and the like, you are putting foreign items into your skin, right? So it's not something your skin is used to. It's something completely foreign. And obviously by putting something foreign, there could be pros and there could be a lot of cons as well that are attached to that. Take us through the side effects of this.
The side effects include what you call dermatocalesis, which is you see, when you have like the eyebags, but they are more on the upper eyelid, like you start having like you having swollen eyes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then this is because of what happens is that there is the reduced amount of elastic fiber due to the reaction that happens, where the granulomatous reaction, where the cells, they come together and they form like there is a foreign body, like the body feels like there's a foreign body in them. Mm. The other things that happened is the hypopigmentation, which has been seen in an 81-year-old after doing permanent makeup. Then the other one is an inflammatory reaction. A person can just react to the ink that is being used. And then the eyelid necrosis, like when you say the necrosis, we talk about necrosis, it's like the cell is dead, sort of.
The cell dies.
Some patients have got what we call corneal pigmentation.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see, there's a cornea, the white part of the thing, they become black. And that pigment can go inside. And then, and some patients can just have what you call blepharopigmentation. Like you see the eyeliner, where you do the eyeliner in, it can just become pigmented because that's not where you put your eyeliner. So there's so many. The other one is what you call conjunctival hyperpigmentation. So I always say to patients when they ask me about permanent makeup, I say, there's nothing wrong with permanent makeup, provided that you go to a very, very experienced and qualified therapist, and the one that you'll be very sure that you cannot get an infection from. Because there's been another patient that has gotten a mycobacterium infection after having been to do the permanent makeup. But with all being said, those procedures, they are very, very common in the elderly, but it can happen in the younger ones.
Sure.
And there's always help out there.
Yeah, you know, is it cancerous? You know, because, and again, I go back to the fact that I'm putting in something that is foreign into my skin. Can it cause cancer?
You know what? Any inflammation that is chronic in a place, and it's a chronic inflammation, you can end up having cancer. But I haven't seen any report on that. There's people that have gotten cancer from that. But in terms of the infections and the reactions and all those pigmentation and all that, it has been there. And like I say, there's always help out there.
Yeah. Pia, you know, with the side effects, have you ever had clients that came to you and said, look, my skin is allergic to some of the items that have been used, to some of the pigments that have actually been used on the skin, because it's a foreign object on skin. And how do you deal with that?
So those are one of the biggest fears students, when they come through, have. I've had, for instance, one lady in Clash, because she says she does facials, and she said that one of her clients, when she was doing a facial, had cysts on the brows. And I was like, cysts on the brows? She's like, yes. And it was caused by, that means that particular client had went to someone, and that person had reused a blade.
Oh my gosh.
So I love how the doctor had put it, that you need to go to someone who's reputable, that you know that they'll do the right thing, because that means someone was just trying to save money, and literally blades are very cheap. So that's like one of the worst cases I have heard. But before the actual appointment, you actually go through some questions over the phone. Do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have that? And also, before the appointment, you sit down and you go through a consent form. So the consent form protects both the client and also the technician in understanding what are we getting ourselves into. But I love how the doctor said that you need to be very careful as a client going to anyone. Are you sure? Are you ready? And are you sure it's the right person who's going to do your job?
Yeah, and we're going to go into it again and understand exactly how do you do the various things that you do. But Dr. Claudia, is it addictive? And I'm saying this because, you know, you can start off by doing the brows, and then you go, hey, man, but I can add eyeliner. And then you add the eyeliner and you go, ooh, maybe I need to add the top line. And then you add the top line. And then you know what? My cheeks need to have a little bit of blush. And then you have add a little bit of blush. And then you say, oh, my lips don't look so good. And then you add lips. And then before you know it, you are literally sitting with a person who's got a full set of heavy makeup on that is not even real. That's real. It's permanent. And there's no going back. Can I get addicted to it because I'm addicted to fixing my face or seeing my face in a particular perceived manner?
Absolutely. You can become addictive. And then there is an entity in our profession where we call psychodermatology.
So.
It falls under the psychodermatology where a patient is overly obsessive about how they look and they always want to do something on their face. So
sure.
It does happen. You can have that psychodermatological problem.
So what happens then, and how do you know that somebody actually has gone past the point of just wanting to look beautiful? And there's a thin line between wanting to look beautiful and then being obsessed with your image.
And that's why it's very, very important that even the therapists out there, they have to work hand in hand with the doctors. Like, even when they even start doing the procedure, the patient must go and do certain things, like just a full blood count, just to check, is this patient not maybe hemophilic? Like when they have another genetic condition, when the patient has got bleeding disorders and whatnot. Or is he having like low blood, like she was saying, which we call anemia? That patient will not get in the pigment in. And then even the kidneys and the liver, we should just basic blood, and just to check if the patient has got infections, just to do the infective markers. So that's where we've been talking with some other dermatologists that, you know, including the therapists, we need to go in and help our people, because it's not only helping the therapists, but also helping the patients so that they don't get into doing things that at the end they are more at a disadvantaged position than when they wanted to look good, whereas they had some other problems out there.
Yeah. And what do you do, Pia, with a client that actually, where even you are going, this person has had too much? When do you guys draw the actual line? Or have you guys even established a line to draw when a client were you starting to see the client way too often?
In terms of like brows, it's very few people who will come in and say, okay, now I'm back for my eyeliner. Okay, now I'm back for my lips. People are still a little bit skeptical about doing everything. And I haven't seen someone in my case, someone who's obsessive. But I want to touch on what the doctor said. You know what she said is so correct. We need to work with dermatologists and doctors in order for the benefit of not only the industry, but also for the clients. That is a very good suggestion, because she's correct in that a lot of people don't know that they have certain problems physically and that are actually affecting certain procedures.
Mm.
So I'm with you, doctor, there. I'm with you.
So in terms of just being able to hone in on a person not doing too much, talk to us about what can I actually do to my face. So can I put in blush?
It'll have to depend, obviously, on the palette. So what skin tone you're working with. And I wouldn't advise the blush, because we're going to be using something like microneedling. And we're going to be putting pigment. And I wouldn't advise that, because also then we're not evenly distributing the pigment compared to if we're working on the actual lip distributing pigment or actual brow distributing the pigment evenly. So I wouldn't do blush. Blush is not a popular permanent.
But it's there.
It's there, but it's in South Africa, we are still not, we're still a little bit
behind.
Yeah, we more brows, and then we have some people interested in eyeliner, but lips is also starting to be popular, but skin is definitely still, that's what they call the BB glow. maybe insert pigment into the skin, it's still relatively not that
it's popular. Called the BB glow.
Yeah, so they literally we insert pigment into your skin with a sort of like your micro needling, sort of similar. Just
wait,
so you can understand.
Just give us a sensor. Micro needling is just little needles that are going on your
puncturing.
Skin.
So yeah, know that micro needling is for actually rejuvenating your skin. That is actually a skin procedure.
Okay,
but in terms of putting pigment into the skin, that's a different ball game.
So people don't do it as yet as frequently as you would see in other countries, for example?
No, not yet. Not here in South Africa yet, no.
And then in terms of lips, what do people come in and ask you for?
Lips, people have a problem of their lips looking as if they smoke. People want you to help them with that. Or discoloration on the lips or patches on the lips. And it's making them feel uncomfortable. Some people literally feel like they have to wear lipstick every day to cover up.
Mm.
Or you have people who just want... I want a red color, and you have to explain the process that, okay, it's not going to just be red. And yeah, so people come for
so
those.
People actually want a permanent red lip.
Yes.
A permanent one. No, don't laugh. Yes. I'm just, you know, yes. A permanent red lip.
Yes.
Huh. Okay. Okay. Wow. Yeah, Dr. Clara, it certainly is.
I just want to get in there. Mm. I'm very, very worried about what PWS just said about the pigmentation, because that's why I'm saying it's very important for the therapist, before they do certain procedures, they should just ask themselves, is it a skin disease or is it really the pigmentation, that discoloration that the patient wants to get rid of? Because once you see a patient having that, it can be a very serious condition, a dermatological condition, which we call discoid lupus erythematosus, which is a patient will be having a connective tissue disease. So by going there and putting pigment in there, you actually are going to make the patient even more sick, because now you've irritated the skin, which is actually having so much of inflammation underneath, and then you put more pigment. So that is just what I wanted to correct in there, that it's very, very important and very urgent that we collaborate and get in.
Yeah,
because
otherwise we're sitting with in a situation where we're sitting with permanent makeup, but the permanent makeup could actually be eating ourselves up, you know, and we're doing more damage to ourselves than we would be actually doing some good within ourselves as well. Would you say that even with and as you were saying that it's more older women that are doing it, and I would not like to use older, maybe let's say more mature women that are actually doing it as well. Because of the elasticity of skin and just normal elasticity of skin, how does it actually sit with them? Because, you know, the older you get, the elasticity, I don't have the same skin as I was when I was 20. You know, that's just a fact. I'm not going to have the same skin when I'm 40. It's just a fact. How does it all sit on them, and what advice would you give to them, those that are considering it?
That's why most of the complications, they happen in those older women, like the 81-year-olds, 70-year-olds, and all that.
Mm.
All those complications. Okay, there have been the 31-year-olds, 54 years old, and around that. The thing is, with patients with a lot of elasticity, the chances of the pigment going through beyond even where it is intended is very high. So that's why we have that very condition, which I call dermatocalasis.
Mm.
So that is one of the things. And then they also look like they've been fanned, you know, like fanning. It's like they have... I don't know whether you understand that.
No,
it gets like more droopy and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, but that is not a problem, because at least we do have... something that you can do, the laser. But also with the laser, it's very, very crucial to also know that the patients must know that it's not every laser that is appropriate for a black skin. and even for the pigment, there is certain lasers that can be used for certain pigment. Like if it's black and white, as we know that it's 1064 ND. And then if it's other colors, we use like the ruby, the light one, right? But even though some of them, they are not appropriate for the black skin, they can actually become hypopigmented, like discolored, instead of even taking out the pigment or getting in the pigment.
Wow. Dr. Claudia Pue, hold your horses. We're going to come in and we're going to wrap up after this. And we're still going to take your calls on 0861-987-000. Have you considered getting permanent makeup? What would you like to get done? Or have you considered microblading? It's microblading. Am I saying the right terms? Is it microblading that we do microblading
yes.
And then putting in some permanent makeup? Would you do it? And what have you had? Lips, even. Do you know that you can have red lips permanently? Whew, it's 2 o'clock. Let's get your latest now in Power News.
Tweet Faith. At Faith Mangobe and hashtag Power Lunch.
Listen, we're learning a lot and even having a good chuckle in between around a permanent makeup and how it's actually growing, right, amongst black South Africans. It's actually a growing industry. More and more women, and what we're finding as well, more and more mature women are actually doing and having permanent makeup done. So we're still with our guest this afternoon, Dr. Claudia Mulwabi, who's a dermatologist, as well as PUM Gadi, who is a skin tag and derma planning strategist about this. And of course, fam, it's your conversation. If you've also got questions, 0861-987-000. And in fact, before I go back to my guest, let me just go to Protea Clean. Hi, Lebo.
Hey, how are you?
Good and you, sir. Go ahead.
Good. If I'm a woman, I wake up in the morning, you know what, I want to do a permanent makeup. I'll be worried because of, you know, the makeup goes with fashion. All this time, like fashion, because of the makeup that we see now, the women that are wearing is different from 10 years back, 5 years back. I remember there was a time whereby the red lips was not there, it was black lip, but the red lips.
I remember that again. the black eyeliner, and then you put Vaseline over it, or Vicks.
Yes.
Or lip gloss. Yes. I mean, if you're really, you know, if you're really fancy, you'd put lip gloss over it. And then you'd put the Cindy Crawford Ntsumba. What is another word for Ntsumba? A beauty spot.
I don't know.
You used to put the black beauty spot on it. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, they go with fashion, and then the black lip is no longer here. Maybe it's going to come back 5 years to come, and then the red one is no longer going to be in fashion, you understand? Mm. So you're going to look like you old-fashioned, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Let me ask you this. For the now fashion, right? If your woman woke up and her face, you know, had eyeliner a little bit, you know, a little bit of eyeliner, her lips had a little bit of color, she had eyelashes on, would it move you? Would you wake up and go, wow, this woman wakes up looking pretty, or does it matter to you?
I go, wow, baby, you look nice.
Oh, so you'd appreciate it. You'd love it.
Yes, I would, but the thing, it goes with fashion, that's the thing. It goes with time. If for now, it's good, but 4 or 5 years to come now, you need to move with time.
I hear you 100%. I hear it. And Dr. Claire, it is a concern amongst people, is what's new now is not new now. You just reminded me of the black lip movement, right? When you had the black lip and the lip gloss, and then the Ntsumba, the Cindy Crawford Ntsumba. I'll never forget those days. But everybody had the Ntsumba, okay? It was on the nose, or it was at the bottom of just before the bottom of the lip. But just around the removal, just take us through the removal process of it if I don't want it anymore.
The removal of it, it depends on the type of the color that you have on. It all involves lasers. But there's different types, like the black and white. We have the 1064 ND that we use for the lips. And then we have different ones, the rubies and alexandrite and all that for other colors. So, but we have found out that with the black skin, we are finding it at times very challenging. They either become hypopigmented, like their color becomes less than their usual color,
mm-hmm.
or they think the color, there's still some remnant of color remaining. But at times, we just get very good results. Because the thing is, people go to even Backstreet and do colors, when you check, you don't know whether this color is green or it's black.
Mm.
And those are the kind of things. And it's like, even the way the procedure is done, you can see that this thing was like inserted like deep into the dermis and all that. So that's the challenges that we get. But we have laser, the lasers that we use for the particular type of pigment, micropigment that is inserted on the skin.
Got you. And Piwe, talk to us a little bit about costs. How much is all of this going to set me back by?
Brows, when it comes to microblading, for instance, I'm charging 1.8. So in the market, around about 2,000, 2.5 for the microblading. But when you're going to do shading, your sort ombres or your ombre brows, you can spend around about 3,000, 4,000 rands. And there is a touch-up. Your touch-ups can be like 1,000 rands, 1.5. So depending on, obviously, an artist.
Yeah. So you treat it basically like when you start doing your nails. Right. Once you start doing your nails, you fill, and then you know it's just that it lasts longer, obviously.
Yeah.
But you go for a fill. There's a maintenance aspect. You need to take care of it. You need to take care of your nails. You need to wash what you wash with. And once you start the process, it's very difficult to kind of jump off the bandwagon, as it were.
You have a huge responsibility as a client to do your aftercare properly. Which,
what does it look like, aftercare?
So when you come through and you leave my studio, for instance, you will go home and I'll give you instructions on how to take care of them. So Bepanthen is a very good aftercare product we advise clients to use. There are other a lot of products out there for aftercare. But obviously every artist is biased and will recommend something differently. Also understanding that water is an enemy to the healing process in the first 7 days. So you'll be avoiding your swimming, your showering, steam, working out.
We should have started with this part of the conversation. What do you mean water is an enemy? So me, how do I wash? Must I go into the bath?
Yes, and please, you'll have to wash around the area that was worked on. In lips, for instance, you need to avoid anything that's salty. So you can't have like your wings after doing your lips.
You can't even kiss anybody.
No.
So kissing is off the table. Oh, guys. So you can't have chicken licking and you can't kiss lips.
It's like, you want to be beautiful.
Yeah, it's like sending somebody to hell. It's like, it's immediately, it's like, you can't kiss. Well, imagine a person who can never kiss and can't have chicken, neck and hot wings. It just doesn't make sense. But anyways, so that's how long, and you can't do that for 7 days.
Yes, specifically brows, lips will take about 2 months to heal properly. But I'm not saying you can't have chicken liver for 2 months.
Or kiss for 2 months.
Yes. Okay. No, you can't. But the healed results should come back 2 to 3 months, depending on a person's healing, their body, how long they take to heal.
Yeah.
But brows, 7 days should be good. Also depending on what procedure was done, the depth and understanding of the technician, how deep to work, will really affect also the healed results. Yeah.
Ladies, I've learned so much today, and thank you very much. Dr. Claudia, always a pleasure speaking to you. The things that we discover, I was so surprised that so many women are doing it. And more than anything else, you've completely wiped up my assumptions off the window, because I used to think it was about, it's between young people, but it's not. It's actually the older generation that is actually deciding to go this route.
Absolutely. Even 81 years old. You know, I've read about 5 papers where it's like around the 80s, 81 year old doing that permanent, micro permanent makeup.
81? You?
81, yes.
I know. Okay. Dr. Clara Mulavi, thank you very much for your time. Piwe Mngadi, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us and for educating us a little bit about a permanent. There you go. If you're ever considering to do this, I think it's fabulous. I do. I think it's just the aftercare part. The aftercare part. Maybe the trick is not to do your lips. That's how you survive this. It's 17 minutes after 2.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.